Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trek Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful Friday noon, almost, right? 11:30 a.m. here on this gorgeous morning. It's 75 degrees here in the Los Angeles, California area, Long Beach, California. Wherever you're watching, whether on Instagram Live, on YouTube Live, on the podcast, on YouTube Live, on Twitch, Periscope, Twitter, Facebook, personal page, wherever you're watching, thank you for being here on this beautiful morning here, almost noontime. What are your 4th of July weekends and what are you doing about your pets, especially our beautiful animals and dogs that it's, I don't know all the biology behind it, but obviously their ears are very sensitive to all of the different noises and all that happens these days with fireworks. So I've been thinking a lot these last few weeks about what is God teaching me and what do I hear God teaching people in my life? What is God trying to tell us with all that's happening these days across the nation, our personal lives, in all the things that you and I are dealing with these days? And obviously, I have no magic ball or crystal ball in terms of knowing what God is doing. I read His Word daily and I'm in prayer. And I don't think anyone can say that they have, here's, you know, the answer to all your questions. But I do have a few impressions, things that I have been very aware of that perhaps you can relate to and that may help you. I think one of them is the need to grow in faith and in boldness and in action. You might be someone who's very much a doer, and faith may, you may not look like doing more. It may look like doing less and trusting God. But I think this whole idea of faith is very important. To grow in faith, whether that means that you're going to do things that you're not comfortable doing, or whether that means that you do less so that you can sit with your own emotions with God. Either way, I think that faith is a very important lesson. I think number two, I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he was talking about how this recession or this quarantine, etc., is preparing us for a greater return. And he wasn't talking so much about returning back to life, into school, into church, into all the things that we're used to. Of course, we all are longing for the day when we can return. But he was talking about a return to our calling. And it got me thinking about the calling that we all have upon our lives, those gifts that are in you, that in me, that God is wanting to remind you of and to bring back in your life. Perhaps those things that you weren't really comfortable, or you didn't have the time, or maybe you were discouraged, or maybe you simply just forgot, or maybe you've been using all your talents and gifts, but you became weary, alone. You felt perhaps disregarded or ignored by other people, and so you got discouraged. But I feel like God has been, He is in the business or in the process of reminding us to return to our calling, to return to the gifts and the calling that we once had. All of us were given certain gifts and callings in life. Things that I'm sure even when you were a little girl or a little boy, you've been practicing. It could be that you have always loved to preach the gospel or to help kids or to be an entrepreneur. And so whatever it may be that God has always put in your heart, perhaps because of busyness and tiredness, maybe last year you forgot about those gifts. You just gave in to other pursuits. And like the Bible says, you know, that the seed goes out and the seed is planted in hearts, but the worries of this world or Satan's lies or the lack of relationships or of maybe God's word or his life in us, prayer, they somehow, you know, that plant doesn't last, that fruit doesn't last. And I believe that God wants us to remember those gifts that he's given us and to not give up on the calling that God's given us. Now, one of the things that especially younger people always ask me is, what is my calling? And I was helping someone the other day, telling her that your calling isn't something in your head, that it isn't about knowing what your calling is, that it isn't about you having a clear path towards a career that you love or towards the husband you're supposed, the man you're supposed to marry. It's more about you following the voice of God inside of you. And the way to listen to the voice of God is through the spiritual disciplines. It is through meditating on God's word. It is through contemplation and silence. It is through retreating maybe into your room or the bathroom or your car or your backyard and looking for the presence of God, because it's in his presence that we hear his heart. It is through the preaching of the word. It is through the listening to other people in our lives. It is through hearing people's stories of where they've been and how God has been faithful that we hear God's voice for our lives. And so I think that one of the big things that I've been hearing from God is this idea of returning to our calling, to hearing the voice of God, to returning to relationships and stories of young and old that will help us realize our calling. So, for example, I've always loved music. In the last 10 years, but the last 10 years, I have focused on leadership and on helping, mentoring, coaching, helping churches find their path, you know, turn around. And that's been more my focus the last 10 years. And it's been very rewarding. But I also know that my calling is to worship God and to sing to him. And then people will be saved and people will be encouraged through that. And so, as you've seen me perhaps here many times, I've been expressing and writing more songs than maybe in the last 10 years. The last time that I think I've written so many songs was about 10 years ago. And I've been now producing my own music, and it's on Spotify. And it's last night I played one of my new songs to our Zoom Bible study that we have on Thursday nights. Another thing that I'm returning back to is on working with young people. I've always loved college and the 20-something generation. And tonight, speaking of that, I'm beginning another Zoom. It's not really a Bible study, but you could call it a Bible study for dating couples. Couples that are thinking of getting married or are afraid of getting married or being in a relationship, or they have a lot of concerns, financial fears, and how do I know that this is the right man? And so tonight at 8 o'clock here on Zoom or here online, I already have one couple that is excited and they're expecting their first baby here in the next few months. They've been married a few years and they are so excited because they know God and they know Jesus, but they're not really sure how to make him number one in their relationship. And so that's another way that I'm returning back to that calling upon my life. The other thing that has been a return for me is my love for the hymns and tradition and seniors and older generations. I was raised in traditional churches, some, of course, that were more, I guess we'd call them contemporary or modern. So I have a mix of many different traditions. But last night, actually it was more in the afternoon, I did a whole live stream. Maybe you can see it here. Just playing the piano here that I have in front of me. something that I learn in school that I love to do. I love to play the piano. And I just open a hymnal that my father-in-law gave me just recently, and I began to just sing hymns. And we had, three or four people that tuned in yesterday. You can still see the video here on these channels, wherever you're watching me. And it was just great to touch the lives of people that love the hymns, to teach the hymns to younger generations. And so I've been wondering how and what is God wanting you to return to in terms of your gifts and talents? What are some of the things that you've always dreamed of, you've always done? And as I said, because of worries and stress and work, maybe discouragement, you left those things behind years ago. As I said, I had left music for 10 years. I literally, about 10 years ago, I gave away most of my guitars. It was a really crazy day for me because I've always loved music, but I really thought that that season in my life was over for many reasons. And yet, this season, this year of all these changes has returned to me the joy of music and of sharing that I even, and here's what happens when we begin to go back to our gifts, to the things that we love, to the things that God has put in our hearts, people begin to notice. So just a couple days ago, a good friend of mine, well, I say a good friend of mine, he's quickly become a good friend, but I've only known him for maybe 3-4 months. He sent me some pictures of this outdoor plaza where he was at, and there were a couple of musicians playing songs. And he texted me and he said, "Trig, this is what's possible for you and for me and for us. We can do something very easily just like this, where we set up a stage outside in a park or at our church. Obviously, we have a beautiful lawn. And maybe this summer, obviously, we have to have all these protocols, you know, all this stuff." And he was saying, "You can use the music that God's given you." And he was just so encouraging to those gifts and talents. And I wrote a song, as I said, yesterday. It's on my website here and on YouTube, etc., all these channels. But here's my point. You have these gifts and talents that perhaps you also put on hold for a season. Maybe it was because you got busy with children and you had to tend to your home. Maybe you had to take care of an aging parent, or your job became so stressful that you could only focus on one thing at a time. Maybe it's that you were in school, or that you had to deal with all these relationship issues of maybe a husband that didn't follow through on his commitments, and you had to rescue your family from bankruptcy or from being homeless. But yet, all of us have these maybe latent gifts and talents that have always been there. And I believe that God wants you to return to that. And this weekend, this 4th of July weekend, might be the key or the first step towards that. And so what can you do this weekend to restart that internal conversation? Another thing that God's been, this is something that I've always done, but I think that it's being done differently. This is maybe the third thing, is to do the same things differently. So the first one, just to summarize here, a few things that I've been hearing from God in this season of this new year of open the eyes of my heart, Lord. One is faith. Second is to return. And then third is to do things differently. So what I mean by that, I've always been a networker. I've always loved to connect with different people, and from creatives to business owners to nonprofits to people that are just doing amazing things in the media industry, tech, you know, all these things that you see me really enjoy, of course, leadership and reading and you name it. I'm a jack of all trades and master of none, as they say. But sometimes we can use our gifts just because we like something, right? You can be you because either it's your job or because you just enjoy doing it, whatever it may be for you. But the last few months, it's almost like God, even though I have been doing those things as much as possible these days, it's being done more, I can only say, in His power. Maybe that's the best way to really say it. Instead of using natural talents or connections or the internet or just being ourselves, instead I've been waiting on God and He's been bringing things my way. And I've just been responding to those things using those connections and those skills that He's given me versus me pursuing. Not that there's anything wrong with pursuing opportunities, but right now there's not much we can pursue, right? There's not much you can go and do besides the same old thing every day or every weekend. But I wonder if God is bringing things into your life, and even though you're used to going after them, maybe He's bringing them to your door so that you can respond. Maybe that's actually the third word, is respond. So faith, return, respond. Is there an R for faith? I don't know. Maybe it's more of a resurrect, perhaps. Resurrect faith. So let's just call it resurrect, return, and respond. So resurrect means to wake up to faith, wake up to how Jesus is with us. Number two is to respond, is to say, to return, is to say, Lord, what in my life, what are some of the talents and gifts, what are some of the passions or just the interests that I've had that I need to return to? And then third is to respond. Are there things that God is bringing your way that you need to respond to? Are there people in your life, like my friend that called me, as I said, just the other day and said, hey, I think this is what you could be doing. And obviously, no one has the key to your life. No one knows what you should do or not do. But God brings people and verses and conversations, maybe even this video here, to help us respond to Him. To recognize that whatever that person's saying or that scripture or that hymn is something that we've been feeling and we've been ignoring or just not sure that it was meant to be. As I said, one of the things I love are the hymns. I remember years ago, I started a service just with hymns. And I remember it was just so, I was so excited about it. And it kind of came and went, but my passion has always remained for the hymns, for hymnology, because hymns shaped me. Hymns connect many people of different ethnic backgrounds and ages and traditions around the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And I was thinking about how you have so many churches and so many places where tradition is being thrown out the window. And I understand the need for movement and for obviously updating things and new songs and new ways of doing church and life, etc. I mean, technology's changing. Obviously, look at schools, right? I mean, they're all having to make things do things differently. Maybe it's not better, but it's a necessary evil, you could call it. And so one of the things that I'm returning to and responding to and resurrecting to is to be that person who restores the hymns and restores that the beauty of the hymnal. I have a hymnal here. I was using it yesterday, as I mentioned. And what's beautiful about hymnals, if you know one or have one, meaning if you know this or if you have one, is that they have such amazing stories behind each hymn. They have the author and who wrote the lyrics and who wrote the music and also who, what verse it's based on. And I must say, there are some hymns, I sang a few yesterday, that are just like any songs. They're just kind of empty. You know, there's some hymns that are like, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what that was about. But there are some hymns, again, like any songs in any genre, that are so anointed, as we would call them. They have such emotion and depth and theology behind them. And I don't even know if it's so much theology as it is just prose. as it is lyric, as it is a journey. You know, some of them, of course, have good theology. Some hymns don't have very good theology. And I don't think the hymn writers are trying to be theologians. They're being poets. They are artists. They are creatives. But my point is that we all have things that perhaps God is trying to reawaken in you, in all of us, to reaccomplish in us, to return to respond to. What is God bringing to your doorstep to respond to? Is he asking you to surrender something? Maybe not 100%, but maybe 20%. Is he asking you to let go of a part of your life, a part of your responsibilities? Are you doing something that really you're not supposed to be doing? Do you need to let go of 10, 20% of the to-dos on your list so that you can respond to those 20, 30%, of things that you are meant to be doing? Now, how do you know? Only the Holy Spirit can reveal that. That's the only way to know. No one can tell you what you should be doing with your life or not doing. I think there are a few ways to maybe gauge this, though. One is just your joy. Are you happy doing the things you're doing? Are you happy right now? I don't mean like you have money and you have everyone's healthy and your kids are all doctors and lawyers. I don't mean that kind of joy. That's more kind of earthly happiness. I mean, is there a joy in your heart? Is there peace in your heart that you're doing what you love to do? Number two, are you making other people happy? Now, I'm not saying that your job or your parenting or your volunteering is making everyone happy, but is it fruitful? Are there people that are drawing near to God because of how you are showing up in the world? At work, is your efforts at work, maybe you work at a restaurant, maybe you're retired and you're at home, maybe you're in church ministry. Not every aspect of what we do, but do you feel for the most part that there is a sense of enjoyment in the people that you serve? Are people, let's say you work at a restaurant, are the clients happy with your service? Is your boss like, man, this is a really good, you're amazing at that? If you're a young person, are your parents or your friends, when you show up in the world using your gifts, maybe you sing, perhaps you write, maybe you're a leader, do they feel thankful because you are in their lives? That's another way to gauge your kind of how you need to show up in the world. Third, are there divine just miracles happening when you show up? Are there things that you just can't explain when you obey God? I think that miracles, signs, and wonders are an amazing way to know that you're on the right track. If there's miracle after miracle happening around you, guess what? You're on the right track. If there is demonic attack after demonic attack, guess what? You may think I'm going to say the opposite. No, you're also on the right track. Both of those are amazing signs and very, I think, obvious very obvious signs, very easy to tell signs that you're on the right track. If there is miracle after, now, what do I mean by miracles? Are we talking about the sky is opening and the hand of God comes down? And no. You just look back and you think, how did that happen? Who did that? You know, that sense of like, who did that? I mean, I know I was there. I know I maybe picked up the phone. I know I brought some flowers to my neighbor, or I told my wife that I loved her. But who did that? Well, it was the Lord. It was God who did that. Or do you look back and you say, man, I was doing the right thing for the right reasons and it was helping people, but what a year of demonic attacks. What a year of satanic exhaustion and overwhelm and depression. Or maybe it wasn't you who dealt with that. It was your family. It was your daughter, your husband. It was your cousin or something, even in your neighborhood, or an illness. Whenever there are consistent spiritual attacks, that's not disobedience. I can talk more about what disobedience looks like. That's different. But when there are consistent spiritual attacks and you are seeing God work at the same time, when both things are happening at the same time, that's a sign that you're on track. Now, how do you know when you're just disobeying God? Well, the way you know when you're disobeying God is there's no peace in your life. You might be enjoying your life. You might be doing things that you always wanted to do, but you have no peace. And the people that love you most, your family, your parents, your spiritual leaders, they are concerned for you. So Satan doesn't attack the person who's disobeying, because they're already given in to that lie or to that demonic influence. What the devil does often, he then begins to insulate you from the truth of God. So you begin to just listen less and less to God's word. You go and work and work and work, and you feel desperate that you need to have money, and you need to buy that car, you need to buy that house, and you begin to compromise God's word and worshiping with other people. Now just being online, you're too busy for that, you're too tired for that, you're too depressed for God, you don't give anymore to church, you begin to be mad at the people that love you most, your parents, spiritual leaders, your teachers, your bosses. So that's how you know when Satan is the one that's actually at work, is you don't see any progress. You keep bumping up against. So, well, now, the Bible is very clear that those who do evil succeed in the world, which is kind of a paradox, but it's very obvious, not only in the scriptures, but we see it in real life, that those who hate God or who are not walking with God succeed. Now, how do you then reconcile that? Well, you reconcile that because their hearts are far from God. Remember that the devil, this world, has many riches. Don't think that the devil is sitting as a homeless person under the freeway asking for money. The devil is rich. He has this whole earth as his kingdom. All of its money and violence and resources and demonic influence and the military and hate and violence and racism and all of these things that we see, division and envy. The devil has many things available to him to destroy this world, to attack you and me. And so you may see someone who seems very successful, but they are losing their soul. They're empty inside. And so back to the man or the woman of God and finding your purpose in life. The three R's that I was mentioning is resurrect your faith. Right now, what I hear God saying to all of us is it's time to resurrect your faith. You and I need to go deeper into our spiritual disciplines of prayer, of worship, of giving, of getting together with others on Zoom, on these online things, to turn off all the constant noise of Facebook and Instagram and the scrolling after scrolling. These companies are making millions off of you and me with your scrolling. Instead, still, be still. Sit with these videos and whatever helps you. I have many people that love to listen to the radio because it's so simple. Maybe it's time for us all to go back to the radio and to listen to audio, listen to cassettes. That's why I put my sermons on cassettes every week, because there's something so focused about the cassette tape or about a CD or about a radio that phones just destroy that focus. Number two is to respond. Respond to what God is bringing your way. What is God bringing your way that you need to say, you know, that guy or that message or that verse God keeps telling me the same thing over. And I wonder if I need to respond to that. I wonder if I need to do something about that. I wonder if I need to be obedient and to remove 10-20% of my responsibility so that there is room in my life to respond to God. Perhaps God wants you to start something. As I said tonight, the way that I'm doing that is a couple of things. First is by singing hymns, writing more music, and recording and using my musical talents to to touch the world and to reach the lost. And then second is by investing into young couples. But how is God calling you to respond to him? And then the third one, or I think of the second one, is to return. Return to your original calling. We all are at different stages of life. You might feel trapped at home. You might feel happy these days. You might feel sad. You might feel numb. Maybe your family is dealing with all kinds of things. You know, we as the adults, it's not just us that we worry about, right? We are influenced by our families, by how your daughter or your grandson or your husband is doing. And so none of us is insulated or imperfluous, I think that's the word. None of us are insulated from, or untouchable is really my point, from the things around us. And so those things, no matter how strong your faith is, they're going to touch your heart and they're going to weaken you or they're going to worry you. What do we do? And the insular was the word. None of us are insulated. Yeah, I said it. Anyway, so what we need to do in those times is to respond to God and return to our faith. Return to the disciplines. Return to that devotional life. I personally find it a gift to not have the routine of daily life. I know for some, this is a very difficult time because you connect more with being with others and being outside. And so I understand different personalities. But I think for whoever you are, this is a time here as we experience isolation, silence, contemplation, being alone, or maybe as you experience the opposite, you're just so exhausted and you are exhausting your way to the hospital. This is a time for us all to meditate and to go deeper with Jesus, to deal or to give time to the inward journey. What is God teaching you about his love? Do you need to know more about his grace? Do you need to invest back into a sermon or a series on YouTube on the cross of Jesus? Are you needing to learn what does it look like to be an evangelist, to talk to people about Jesus? Have you lost that? I mean, we all know that as we age and as more of the people are Christians, they have less and less non-Christian friends. And so when you hear this whole thing of invite your friends, you're like, I don't have any friends. And if I do, it's my sister who I've already invited to church 1,000 times. Does that bother you? It probably does. Or does it, you wish differently, maybe is a better way to put it. Maybe this is the time to go to YouTube or to dig through your stack of tapes that you have in a garage or in a box somewhere and look for tapes or CDs or whatever, records, 8-tracks, I don't know, on how to evangelize. It doesn't matter if it was written in 1965 or 85. Those skills are still the same because it's the same Jesus, the same gospel, and people's sins and distractions are the same. Nothing is new under the sun. Is there something spiritual, especially, which is obviously more what we talk about here, that God is wanting to for you to respond to reconnect with, to realign with, to return to? What does the Bible say? Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. I think some of the things that I don't see, maybe some of the things that I don't see, and maybe this is my prophet now part here speaking, which is more black and white, more bold. I don't see revival happening in the church. I don't see us becoming more tolerant of each other's political views. I don't see us coming together around race. Yeah, you have certain elements where this is a very hot topic, but I don't see us coming together around ethnic groups and differences in that. I don't know if these were major issues before this year. They obviously have erupted as issues, and I don't see us yet. And I don't mean that that's a bad thing. All I mean is that we're not there yet. That we're in process of learning how to become more integrated, how to love each other more deeply. I know that's true of me. I am every day being changed by God to love more, to have less walls, to have less fears and less frustrations, and to love freely and to be more about the peace of God and a uniter of people than a divider. And you and I have to ask ourselves, Lord, how have I united people and how can I keep doing it? How have I divided people and how can I not do that? How have I given in to the lower aspects of me, anger, frustration, fear, and anxiety, and envy, and how can I instead become more about love and grace and peace and gozo, right? Joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so three R's, resurrect, return, and respond. That's what I'm hearing from God. Resurrect our faith, our dependency upon Him. Return to our calling and to respond to the signs all around us. Let me know if I know we have one or two people here watching. Thank you for being here. And let's share this broadcast with your friends. Let me know, what is God telling you these days? Leave me a comment below. Thank you so much for being here. If you're watching me on Periscope, make sure that you share this broadcast with your friends. Instagram Live, thank you for being here. And YouTube, subscribe to my channel. Anywhere else, thank you for being here. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.